sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
These are fun games to play in, so everyone has worked pretty hard to get to this point. Only 8 teams playing this weekend, so it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It's a great feeling to be in this place, so I know we're excited. We've had a good week, and just got to go out there and try to play our best.
You know who's excited? We're excited to do 4 hours of football right now. Playoff Friday. Quarterbacks all calm. Yeah, we're very excited. You know, screw that. We're ready to go. You better be ready to go when you call the show. You know what we do today when people call? What's up? That's like the old beer commercial. Yeah. Kind of excited today. Countdown. Feels like it's game. It's game.
What
close.
Time does Zoe peter out, Jim?
Like, oh, you said this the 11, other day. 20? Did I peter out the other day?
I think he's good today.
Nope.
I hope so.
Roll with the changes in the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh, don't tease me. I wanted to open the show, but Jim said nope.
No.
Nope. Pace yourself.
No. No.
Hmm.
Nope.
Okay, when you'll play coin toss, do you take the ball or do you defer?
Take the damn ball.
Take the ball.
Take the ball.
That's how we're
set. Ball.
We're taking the offensive today.
Take the ball.
Take the ball and roll with it. Let's go. Fast paced tempo.
For a lot of
up
reasons.
Tempo. Yes.
Go with your best side of the ball.
Yes.
Your offense. And then on top of that, get out ahead.
Yeah, could you imagine kicking off tomorrow night, say you defer, and they take it and just go right
down?
No!
No!
No! You hear the guy just, Jim played right there, that quarterback? He ain't got many of these left. Think about it. How many divisional rounds he have left?
Probably could be the last one if they all, the trio breaks up. Belichick leaves, Brady retires, Kraft sells the team.
Put the ball in his hands.
I think that was all covered in the Wickersham story there.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's all in there somewhere if you dig deep enough. All right, so tomorrow night, it's Tennessee Titans for the New England Patriots. We all know that. If the Patriots were to lose this game, which I do not believe they will lose this game, but if they somehow found a way to do that, this would go down as the worst Patriots playoff
loss. That's a negative take right there.
Jones. Hold on. Give me a second.
My host would have
Give me 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
Give me 30 seconds to bring this back around for you.
Bring it around.
It would go down as the worst playoff loss in the Brady Belichick era. I'm not talking about which one is emotionally the worst loss or what's the biggest letdown. I'm not talking about how you felt after the Super Bowl, the first one and second one against the Giants.
I'm not talking about that. Take those out.
I'm not talking about that it felt awful, like the way they lost in the AFC Championship game to the Colts after the Colts came back. I'm talking about your team versus the other team and the expectations for each of those teams. Kind of hard to say that a loss in an AFC title game or a loss in a Super Bowl is a terrible loss. So
yeah,
really, if you're ranking the 9 playoff losses for the Patriots with Brady and Belichick, and you put together a list of 9, there's a bunch of them that are automatically going to go to the bottom of the list. Like losses in the Super Bowl or losses to eventual Super Bowl champions, like losing to the Ravens in 2012. Right?
Yeah, see, I didn't feel bad after that.
Or losing to the Broncos before they went and lost to Seattle. But at least you're losing in an AFC title game, and the team that beat you played well enough to get to a Super Bowl. That's not exactly a devastating, terrible loss. That's not a black mark on your record, if you will. Losing to the Ravens in 2009. The way the Patriots lost, and this sort of springs off what we talked about yesterday.
You'd be up for that one.
2009, 2010, back-to-back.
You got to talk me into how this one would be better than that one.
The loss to the Ravens in 2009 or the loss to the Jets in 2010.
See, Jets were pretty good, and we didn't believe it at that time. Jets had good veteran talent. That loss to the Ravens was atrocious. You snapped your fingers, and they were down 14-0 in that game. And they had nothing to counter it. Nothing. They were dead. They were a dead flat team. Dead flat home team in the playoffs. See, I think the spot, too, I mean, we're pumping it up, right? 8:30 kick. Is it 8:30 or 8:15?
And by the way, Jim, Jim,
what's the official kick?
8:15.
That's what I thought.
Ish.
Pre-game at 5.
Yeah. Pre-game 5 p.m.
Wow. Wow, extended.
So Jim put together his ranking of the 9 playoff losses.
Jim.
And I think the worst one in there is 2010. You go 14-2 in the regular season, and you lose to the New York Jets. You lost to a lesser opponent after going 14-2 in the regular season. At home.
And you beat them, what, 40,
that to me 45, is the 3? Worst. You know, in terms of you should have beat the other team.
Yeah.
The expectation is for you to beat the other team.
Yeah.
You're better than the other team.
Yep.
It's an opening round.
Yeah.
This
is
why. Home.
This is why I wanted.
No business losing that.
This is why I wanted Tennessee more so than, say, Buffalo, because I think it's very hard to beat a divisional opponent 3 times in one given year. And that was the Jet year. That was 2010. You ended up kicking their ass in that night game. Remember, was it 45-3 or 47-3, whatever the hell it was?
I thought that Jet team was better than the Ravens team the year before. That's why I put
that Jet team.
No, they were.
We didn't give that Jet
team enough
credit.
The Patriots were a much better team than what they were in 2010.
That team should have beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. That Jet team.
Excuse me, 2009.
The Patriots team was young that year. Even though they were 14-2, they were young.
Right. They didn't know what they were, and they didn't know what they had in the tight ends.
They
kind of knew, but
they only turned the ball over like 4 times all year, so they never really were faced with like a tough spot.
So your back was Woodhead, right?
Yeah, Woodhead was like the guy.
It was Woodhead? Like, Woodhead was your star. Think about how good your backs are now. You get guys are going to be inactive tomorrow night because of the luxury of depth at the position. You've changed. Some of the pieces are the same, but there are a lot of new guys taking the field here tomorrow night, too. We're going to look at that throughout the course of the day, too. I think 21 in all. New faces. First playoff game as a Patriot.
That was the game against the Ravens where you did not have Wes Welker.
7.5-minute drive to nowhere.
I mean, no, I'm talking about the Ravens game.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm talking about the Ravens.
Ravens game to me was the worst, that wild card game. That was wild card, though, right?
That was a wild card.
You hosted a home wild card.
They've only lost 9 playoff games in this era, so there's only 9 to choose
from. Weird. You know what was weird about that day, too? The crowd was flat. It was like an early playoff game.
Freezing cold.
It was Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And,
see, that's
and
a tough
you know why they were
Pittsburgh.
Flat? Because Ray Rice ran it like 85 yards out of the gate for the touchdown.
Gary Guyton was your backside wheel backer that overran the play by like 8 yards. I mean, see, that's a tough spot for Pittsburgh Sunday, too. 1 o'clock at home. See, I love the night playoff game. I don't know. You lose tomorrow night, prime
this
time.
This is what I think. Ooh. You lose tomorrow to the freaking Tennessee Titans. That's it. It's the worst one ever. It's the worst one ever. I think it's going to be worse than all those other
ones. You
have
too much offensive talent. I'm sorry.
This goes down as the worst one.
Yeah. Hmm. That or the Ravens.
That's what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to avoid tomorrow.
Yeah, because Super Bowls don't count.
And like, so to bring this back to the week, there's been a lot of accusations that people are too overconfident. They're overlooking the game. They're overlooking the opponent.
Fans, yeah.
This is what this will go down as. So just to mark the stakes, if you will, here, before the game is played. That's what this will go down as, the worst playoff loss in the history of Belichick and Brady, if they lose this one, which I don't see happening. But that might describe, it might be able to narrow down why people feel the way they do this week about the Titans.
Yeah.
Patriots have no business losing to this team. Zero. And because of another reason, they have Rob Gronkowski back for the playoffs. Talk about that. Rob Gronkowski's impact on this team. 617-779-0985. Right now, CBS Sports Minute. Boomer is going to preview a Sunday matchup in the NFC, the Saints and the Vikings.
They lose, I ain't coming in Monday.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh.
Yeah.
Florida. I took you home and be a woman.
Like partying in a cape.
Show me how you do. I wanna shut down the club with you. Hey, I heard you like the wild ones, wild ones, wild ones.
Oh, I like crazy. 4th and 10, 1:34 to go. Football midfield. The Patriots trailing Denver 20-12. 2 receivers right. 2 left. Edelman in short motion with White in the backfield. Snap to Brady. Stands and throws down the right seam for Gronkowski. He makes the catch at the 15. Tumbling to the 10. Double covered. He still has the reception. And there is still life for the Patriots.
I can't believe what I just saw. And Gronkowski is having a tough time getting up. He runs a go route through double coverage. The inside seam, and Brady lays it out on 4th and 10.
4th and goal to go. Trips right before Edelman. Scrambles in motion right to left. Gronkowski puts the hand down. Tight end left. White's in the back, good for Brady. Tom now has Edelman in short motion from the left, covered by Roby. Takes the snap, runs across the middle. He's pressured, throws to the end zone for Gronkowski. Touchdown, Patriots!
But Gronkowski just fights through double coverage to make an all-world play.
That's the last time Rob Gronkowski played in the playoffs. You got to go back 2 years.
Yep.
AFC January of 2016, when he played in the Kansas City game and then played in Denver against the Broncos.
When you needed a drive in Pittsburgh on the 17th of this past December, who'd Tom Brady go to? That guy. Those calls right there reminded me of that go-to drive in Pittsburgh where he was freaking unstoppable. And this could be one of the most non-talked about things, and obviously everybody's been talking about the story, and I understand why. Or the rift that could potentially be there, but an absolutely 100% healthy Rob Gronkowski could be an unstoppable force in these playoffs because it's a Dick LeBeau defense. What are you going to do? Are you going to bang him? Are you going to take Logan Ryan? Are you going to try and shadow him a little bit? Like, I can't wait to see how Tennessee's going to try and defend him, and we're going to know this early in the football game. And I think Brady's going to let it sniff its way out, too. So it's not like you come out and just start forcing the ball to him. See how they play him. And then kind of adjust on the sideline and then attack. Because then you could kind of dictate what coverage you're going to get, and then, you know, you call the route. But that's what it is, man. In a pinch, who's 12 going to? There's no Edelman. It's going to be 87. You need it? Fourth and 10, 87. Touchdown, you need it? Force it, 87. Back shoulder, up high, down low, shoestrings, you name it. Get the ball to Gronk. And I'd love to see him get him up and going early in this game, though. A little play action, you know. See if they give you cover one. See if they give you cover three, meaning seams are open down the side and on top of the hash. That's an ideal spot for him. See how they defend him. But, yeah, no Rob Gronkowski last year. Gronk is back for the playoffs. That's a good thing.
Last time out, 2 years ago, 8 catches, 144 yards against Denver. Had a touchdown, as you just heard. 7 catches for 83 with 2 touchdowns against Kansas City that year. In fact, in his career, Rob Gronkowski has 52 catches for 754 yards. That sound like good numbers to you, Zoe?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like him.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
If you take his playoff stats over 10 games, 52 catches, and you extrapolate it out over a full season, if the playoffs were a season for Rob Gronkowski, he'd have 83 catches and he'd have over 1,200 yards. He would have the second most catches and the second most yards out of any year out of his career. It would be a career year for Rob Gronkowski. The only year that would be better is 2011.
And that's not even factoring in the 2 games he was hurt. In the 1 game, he got hurt in the first play against the Texans and never played again the rest of the game.
Correct.
And the Giants, when he was used as a decoy the whole Super Bowl.
Right. Do you want me to take, I can redo the math. You want me to take those out, remove those games because he really didn't play or shouldn't have been playing? The numbers are insane. Rob Gronkowski in the playoffs is an absolute beast. So a big part of this is, can other teams stop the guy or not? And as I told you yesterday, I don't feel the Steelers can. We saw that on full display in the first go-round. I think the same thing would play itself out if they meet again next week.
I do think in Week 17, they played it safe against the Jets. Now, they did have Adams over, the safety, kind of doubling him. But if you wanted to get the ball, you could have forced the ball into him. Brady did not. So I just think it was a get-through game for him. Let's keep him healthy. Let's keep him upright. If we need him, we'll go to him. I just don't think the Jets totally took Rob Gronkowski out of that game. I don't think there was any intent to get him the ball and get him hit.
Well, you are totally screwed if you can't stop him.
You want those numbers, Beatles?
If you're the Titans, tomorrow night, and you don't have an answer for him, you're going to be bored with this game early because you're going
to
be out of
it. I go back to Saturday's game against Kelsey. I mean, it's a lot of that cover one stuff crap where you're bringing a safety down, you're trying to jump it, and you're in trail technique. And Kelsey's, I don't think he's 70% of the tight end from a pass-catching ability that Rob Gronkowski is. Rob's catch radius just kills him, crushes him.
Yeah, your best bet if you're the Titans is to try and hurt Rob Gronkowski.
Cyprian, too.
And have what happened last week. They took out Travis Kelce.
Who hit him, Cyprian?
On a helmet-to-helmet hit that I don't think was intentional. I don't think they were trying to target the guy.
Oh, but that guy's a hitter. He's the thumper.
Yeah.
The one safety, Cyprian. He can hit.
That's what you're worried about.
Yeah.
That's it. Injury.
Yeah, but when do you see Rob duck the head down, you know, to where you're going to, you don't even really get near his head.
What are the numbers?
8 healthy games. If you extrapolate it out to a 16-game season.
That's a big word.
It's 100 catches, 1,456 yards, and 18 touchdowns.
Best year ever. Be the best year of his career by far.
Wow.
That's the kind of player he is come playoff time.
Monster.
He is the key. He is the key for this team. He is going to be the guy that they absolutely need in these games. There is no more Julian Edelman, at least not for this year.
Yeah, and Edelman doesn't, I mean, not Edelman. Amendola doesn't seem 100% right yet, but 3rd and 6, Brady's going to him too. Like, Danny will come up with a good catch or two in these games. This is the time of year where, you know, you start worrying about Danny Amendola because the number production isn't there from weeks, what, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And it's like, well, he's really falling off. Then all of a sudden, money time, bam. Super Bowl's a great example of that. Where's the slip screens to that guy? Stop with the damn slip screens to Brandon Cooks. Another guy making his first playoff appearance with this team. What's that guy going to be like tomorrow night?
A couple of first-timers. Gilmore, Cooks.
Yeah, I get some stuff on Gilmore, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that, but first we'll get to some of these
calls. Let's do calls.
Connor in Shrewsbury. Connor.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Hey.
Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to say I'm pretty much in agreement with what you guys have been saying so far. You know, playoff time is stud time. I think Gronk's going to come up huge of a stud on this team. That's Brady. You know, he's had 2 weeks to rest, get rid of whatever's bothering him, have Alex Guerrero rub on him a little bit. I think he comes up huge. Patriots roll, 31-17. Let's go, Pats.
Oh, I bet he's doing all kinds of Guerrero stuff today. Everything. Massages.
I might even go up there.
A little stem.
Hey, here's some money, some cash.
Aroma, maybe some of that aromatherapy. Does it smell good?
You know, it smells good like, in TV12? You ever been like at one of those nice resorts and you walk into the spa?
The spa's very lemony.
It's eucalyptus. It's...
Yes.
You walk in, you feel, oh, I'm healthy already.
I feel better. My nostrils just cleared out.
You know what it is?
I feel good.
I think they fool you. He takes that Vicks.
That's a
bite. Sticks his finger in Vicks and shoves it up your nostril.
Bottle of Vicks over there.
You know, my mother used...
A tub of it.
My mother, every time I got sick, she used to have this red towel, the magic red towel. And it was like all itchy and scratchy and it was rough. And she would rub my chest and my neck with Vicks and cover it with a towel and then stick it under my shirt. And I'd wake up the next day and magic. Chest cold's gone. There's something to that aromatherapy stuff, all that menthol. We should get a menthol candle for here. They sell candles here, TB12 candles. Buy some of those. Eat Hardy's bag of nuts.
Yeah, Jeff and Quincy. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. So my question is on Malcolm Mitchell, and so I'm interested in your perspective on this. It seems like Brady's biggest issue is being on the same page with his receivers, and especially Brandon Cooks. Is Malcolm Mitchell going to play, and how important is it for Brady, for a guy like Malcolm Mitchell, who doesn't have all the talent in the world, but he just seems to be on the same page as Brady? And I'll let you go. Thanks.
Malcolm Mitchell, in or out?
This week, I think he's out.
Next week?
In.
Okay.
I think the deadline is 4 p.m. tomorrow to activate him. I'd be shocked if that activation actually happens. They have the spot for him. Wednesday is the next deadline. He's got to be activated by Wednesday. It's kind of weird how that lines up, though, you know?
Can I...
Day of game, you could activate him by 4 o'clock.
Can I be
Day
a wet blanket on all of this as you're talking about your red blankets over here?
I have.
Can I throw some cold water on everybody on this one?
When's the last time I talked about Malcolm Mitchell?
Give me a break. Listen, Malcolm Mitchell, I love the guy. I think that he's got all kinds of ability, and I'm really sad for him that he's got this knee problem that might plague him forever. But if he comes back and he plays this week or next, what do people really think he's going to do? He's going to go out there and play 40 snaps? I mean, give me a break. You can't expect a guy who hasn't played a single game all year, hasn't taken a single meaningful hit in over a year or close to a year, to come out and all of a sudden be some sort of impact player for the offense.
How about not impact? How about just taking Kenny Britt's spot on the roster? Do you trust that guy more than Kenny Britt?
Yeah.
I do.
So I'll make one catch.
That's why I activate him. Not for 40 snaps.
Yeah, but
those,
week,
but
that
those 4 or 5 snaps that Kenny Britt's on the field, I'd rather have Mitchell on the field.
Okay,
I bet
you
Brady would rather have Mitchell.
Okay, but you're making my point. Yeah. 4 or 5 snaps.
See, there's
like,
something.
What can you really expect from the guy?
And if
Brady threw an interception,
hold on.
If Brady isn't
100% accurate.
Are you Kenny Britt people out there over when that happened a month ago?
I'm going to trust.
Sucks.
I will trust Malcolm Mitchell to fight more for the ball than Brandon Cooks will. He's got strong hands. He's got a long reach. All he's got to do is make one third down catch on the perimeter on the outside next week, say, against Pittsburgh. That's where you're going to need him.
Word out of Foxborough is Kenny Britt doesn't know the offense because he's too dumb to pick it up. So,
looks like that on the field. That's the word. The evidence looks like that.
That's the word on the street around Patriot Place, that Kenny Britt's a dumb, doesn't understand, can't pick it up, not going to work. Another one of these guys.
I'm convinced two of Brady's picks during the regular season were Britt's fault. And what did he play? 15 snaps this season?
Blows. The guy's an a-hole on top of it for all the issues and baggage that he brings with him. The Patriots all of a sudden got this thing the last month. They bring in guys like Kenny Britt and James Harrison. Aggravating.
Can't wait to see Harrison.
Harrison. That these are the guys that they tried to resort to in the last month.
Harrison!
See Harrison hit Derrick Henry,
oh,
though?
Oh, my God! See a collision? See, blow him up. I'd get that guy on smelling salts and everything, give him like 8 cups of coffee, ground up some Sudafed, put that in there with some Ultra Fuel. They hate you. They hate you.
See Harrison they coming from the outside, short. And Landon Roberts coming like a missile up that.
Hey, is Sudafed banned in the NFL?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I know it is in the
NFL.
It's
got to be on a list. You got to put it
on the list. I was going to say, is that on the list?
Yeah.
Can you get permission to take it? Or no?
What is a therapeutic method there? No,
I got a cold.
Hey. Well, the NHL, guys used to take Sudafed all the time. That was a big deal in the end. Now you can't do that anymore. NHL, Sudafed. No.
Yeah.
No. No more on the Sudafed.
Whew.
Get him going, Zoe.
Get Harrison
going.
Get him going.
I just think that you need to temper expectations on Malcolm Mitchell coming back. If he makes it back, great. I'd love to see it.
Oh.
Love to see it. But I just don't think you can count on him for more than a handful of snaps if he makes it back. Rob Gronkowski. If Rob Gronkowski gets open, that's what you need. Rob Gronkowski being open is more important than Chris Hogan coming back, more important than Malcolm Mitchell coming back, more important than all of that. It's all about Gronk. 617-779-0985. Here's Wallach with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots will play Tennessee tomorrow night, and despite the stakes, Tom Brady is seeing this one as another day at the office.
Well, I think we have a job to do, and we know what our job is, and that's, you know, to go out and play football at a high level and to play well, and nothing really should get in the way of that. That's what we're getting paid for. So be a professional is to put everything aside and to go out there and do the best you can for the team, try to help us win.
The team had everyone on the active roster out of practice yesterday. Chris Hogan, linebacker Kyle Van Noy taken off the injury report. 6 players questionable, including Alan Branch, Rex Burkhead, and James White. Pittsburgh running back Le'Veon Bell said yesterday if the Steelers use their franchise tag on him again, he'll retire or sit out the season. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. Celtics won in London yesterday, 114-103 over Philadelphia. Team flying back to the States today. They will play New Orleans Tuesday night at TD Garden. Bruins next game tomorrow night in Montreal against the Canadiens. Their home game against Florida that was snowed out last week, rescheduled for Sunday night, April 8th. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. I'm John Wallach on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hardy is your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Edelman motions out to the left. Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open. Makes the catch at the 18 and stride. He's gone. Touchdown, Patriots.
The roof's off. What a play call. There's the Josh McDaniels we've been looking for.
Lateral.
You ready for tomorrow, so?
I'm getting there. See things. Yeah. I see things before they happen. Gotta be good. Don't step on Bob. Don't step on Bob.
He was Romo before Romo was Romo.
Yeah. Try telling you that. Just don't step on Bob. Don't get too excited.
Love with you. Step on.
Chris in the car. What do you got for us?
Hey!
Yes.
Yes.
Is it possible that Edelman could come back from his injury for Super Bowl?
He cannot. He's not. He's on IR without the eligibility to return. So even if he was 100% healthy and felt like Superman, he could not come back and play.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I did see that there was like three other people in the past that was able to come back. I just didn't know. But thanks for the clarification.
Sure.
It was the hope.
No, I mean, and that's a good question because we went through this. Remember the playoff game out in Denver that we played the Gronk highlight to? That was Edelman coming back after getting the screw put in, you know, and the plate put in his foot. And it's always like that open end. Is he going to be back? And man, he was back for Kansas City in the playoffs. And then he wasn't the same guy. You could see him limping out in Denver.
I wouldn't want him back.
I don't. Yes, they did the right thing, the smart thing here. Seriously.
Sorry, Julian. And Julian, that's it. You're done till next year.
Smart thing.
Because that guy would try and convince everybody that he can come back. That's who he is. Yeah. It's like, you know, like Isaiah Thomas trying to tell everyone that he wouldn't play. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You wouldn't play in the playoffs.
Please. You sat in a dentist chair for over 4 hours just attempting to play.
If they left the door open, that guy would fight like crazy and probably do too much.
Yep. And try and get back. And
he
would blow the other one out. And then we'd be like, oh, my God. No, they did the smart
Remember
thing
that time already. We said, oh, Des Bryant had the foot issue? Des Bryant. For weeks. Guess who was back week one? Julian. And loves to throw it in your face. That would be Julian Edelman.
You guys talking about Des Bryant.
Oh, Des Bryant. That's nice.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Oh.
Even his dad, Frank, enjoyed that we had the Des Bryant discussion.
Frank.
He's like, that's good. That's good. Keep saying that stuff.
He's an outside guy, too. Don't forget.
Don't forget.
Frank, they line him up outside. A lot more than you think.
Very valuable guy. Yeah. Very valuable.
Thanks, Frank.
Well, actually, last year, 82% of his snaps were outside. Like, what?
Frankie.
What the hell tape you been looking at? Okay, all right.
Good old dad.
He's a very valuable player. Everyone acknowledges that.
Sure.
617-779-0985, the phone number for you as we get ready for tomorrow night's game. Which, by the way, you can hear right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Bob Soucy and Scott Tolak. What do you think Soucy does on a day like today? What's he do to get ready? Shaves the back?
Yeah, plucks his knuckles.
Wax the knuckles?
Do you know what? Okay.
What? What about Soucy?
He's very particular.
Of course he is.
And play-by-play
guy. They all are.
Yeah, like a type A thing. And you have to breakfast with him. You even get the oatmeal. You know, like how when you get the oatmeal breakfast? You know, like if somebody goes to the oatmeal and you get the buffet there and you just kind of throw the brown sugar on there and maybe some fruit. Like his granola that he puts in the oatmeal, it's like dead smack circular inside the middle of the oatmeal, and then the fruit is placed on top of that.
He creates like a little crater in there.
Oh, it's kind of like the Ben & Jerry's core ice cream.
And as I'm stabbing my eggs to make them bleed all over and I'm mixing everything together, I'm looking over at him, and then he's doing that. We're opposites. That's kind of like the odd couple, which makes it work.
Kind of like Mike and Mike.
Yeah. What's Mike and Mike?
Mike and Mike, the show, Mike and Mike.
And it's not a show anymore, is it?
Okay, but as an example.
Oh, that's awful. No. Not even close.
The very neat and particular host next to the ex-athlete who's the opposite of that.
Mongo won eggs. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. But you guys bring it all together and you make it work.
Yes, excellent.
Yep. Don't step on Bob.
And he tips,
don't step
on he Bob. tips the people taking care of his rooms all the time. Nicely. Right there.
Do you?
No.
Not ever?
Not on one night. Like, I'll leave some change here. I gotta have some change.
That's like almost insulting.
But no, I mean, if I'm there for a good 3-5 days on like one of those extended trips or like Super Bowl, take care of it.
Do you know why? You know why you do that? Because it's all about you. Because it's not about actually tipping and showing a form of being gracious, right? Or being thankful. You tip on those ones because, let me guess, you tip early.
Yeah, make sure my towels and the glasses are nice.
So that's about buying them off and buying, you know, preferential treatment.
We used as to long do as this.
Wait a second.
This is what we used to do. We would go out
if
drinking.
There's no benefit to Zoe, he doesn't tip. If there's no added extra benefit other than he's thankful
here,
for someone cleaning
for
up
8 hours,
his filthy
why am I
room.
Tipping somebody? If I'm there for eight hours, I barely even sleep there, and then like quick shower.
The
and
fact that you
touch one towel.
The fact that you're tipping is the most important thing. I got no problem with upfront tipping. What do you think?
But
what do you
versus no tipping at all?
You ever been to Vegas?
Yeah. What do you think the $20 sandwich is all about, or the $50 sandwich is all about?
I understand that, but I would feel differently about Zoe's tipping if he said, "Well, I always leave a tip. Maybe I leave a little more if it's an extended stay. Again, for the extra towels or whatever it is he's looking for. Nothing wrong with that. The tip is
lotion.
The most important part.
And one more
but
lotion.
He's now mocking Soucy for always tipping when he doesn't tip if it's a short stay, well, because there's no benefit to him.
This is not news to you. You know,
I know it's not news, but he's just revealed it, so we're talking about it.
Okay.
You know, he likes to go way over the standard tipping, too. We're at a nice place, and we tip generously to begin with.
Yeah?
He always tries to slide in another, like, extra 20 in there. Like, what are you doing? We tip like 30%. Oh, service was excellent. Okay.
That's, you know why? Good. That's because Bob says he's a good human being.
They brought you your plate of food.
He's a good human being.
They brought you a plate of
That's
food.
That's why.
And then they brought you dessert, refilled your cup. All right,
because
God.
Bob Sosa can appreciate others' hard work.
I think quietly he used to be a waiter and got screwed.
How does Capello tip on the road?
Same as me.
Yeah, figures. Figures. I'm seeing the lines being drawn.
And
here.
You know what? Maybe Sosa was a waiter. I think it should be a federal law. You're not allowed to eat in a restaurant past the age of 25 unless you've worked in some kind of food service.
I think
so you understand what it's all about. And I'm not saying you got to be a waiter or a bartender.
Right,
you got to be.
You're right.
You have to do something to understand what it's like.
It's ruthless.
That's a real job.
You know what I actually do, too? I take
it's
my...
dirty.
Like, when I'm done,
it's gross.
When I'm done eating, like...
People are gross. You learn how disgusting people are. And then you try to be less disgusting after
I actually stack my stuff. Like, we'll be out to eat. I'll take it, and I'll put all my silver on my plate with the napkin.
I call it DWC, Dining Waste Consolidation. I like to move everything together.
Wow.
Nice. Here you go.
I do it, too.
Make it easy.
Do you, like, put multiple plates on the same plate? Like,
yes.
If you've got extra food that's...
Of course.
Yeah,
if I go to
a buffet,
absolutely. I
like
three plates.
I like to clean all the junk onto one plate and stack the plates.
My kids, at this age, not as much of a problem anymore, but when they were little, I would clean up under the floor after we were in a restaurant because I felt so bad about the mess they would make.
Crayons and those little snack things. What's them Gerber things that melt in your mouth, the munchy things?
Puffs.
Yeah, we went out.
Oh, I know from waiting tables and tending bars and working in a pizza and deli and delivery. People are absolute jackasses when it comes to behaving. When it everything from ordering to tipping to I've seen like the worst side of humanity. When you work in any kind of restaurant for any length of time, you will see it. And it
you have to
long.
Tip extra with kids. You must. That is a must.
I do. Because I work through it. I know what it's like.
Must. Absolute must.
It's good talk.
It's not about just 20% at that point.
Solving problems.
It's 20% plus the cleanup fee. That's what it is.
Yes.
That's what it is. But Zoe never did that. Zoe probably just left $10. Flat rate tip.
We used to have them go drinking. Like, eight of us would go. Hey, guys, give me 20 give me 20 or 50. You walk in you got about $200-$300. Put it right there, bartender, right when you walk in. Set us up. And his eyes light up, man. We used to do that Dads and Daisies. Bars are closed.
I don't have
now.
A problem with that. As a bartender, you
set
tip
for the
me
night.
Up front. Like, good. I will take care of
it. I just put $300 in my pocket. You guys are drinking. For
better than just saying, hey, I'm only here for one drink, so I'm not tipping at all.
Just keep them coming.
Because that would be the equivalent. 617-779-0985. We'll get
totally
to more
right.
of your calls on football and tipping next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the sports app.
Now, why are you making this documentary, and what do you hope viewers will get out of it?
It's a good question.
How about an answer?
This is about Tennessee. I mean, we're 2 days from the biggest game of the year, so.
Yeah, just the trailer just came out. You released the trailer and everything.
Yeah.
Just wondering, why you're doing it and what message you're trying to convey to viewers. People are going to see it.
We'll see. But we'll see after the Tennessee game.
Me while you punish Hardy.
I'll be back in like a minute.
We're crashing into the shore. You wash away my
let the door hit you in the ass.
Time why you walk away like a friend with somewhere to go. You left me. Can you teach me about tomorrow and all the pain and sorrow running free? Cause tomorrow's just another day. And I don't believe in time.
Tom's gonna beat time. Tom versus time.
Hardy's welcome back into the room now. He just can't stand that so much. He had to get up and leave.
You know what drove me crazy today? Why check?
Well, that was a really good Brady cut that we could have been talking about instead of listening to Hootie.
He said, after the Tennessee game. We'll see after
well,
the Tennessee
about, it's
game.
It's all about Tennessee. It's the biggest game of the year right now. They're like, what does it mean? What does the trailer mean? And he says, well, and I think I heard it wrong yesterday.
You did?
I heard it as, what do you mean? Well, we'll see after the Tennessee game. We'll see what it's all about. He said, well, we'll see, but after the Tennessee game. See, there's a totally different...
I think it's the way you heard it first.
No, it's
let's
not.
Let's play it again.
That's
let's play
a,
it,
well, that's,
play it again. Go. I've heard it like three or four
Give
times
it again.
Now. I hear it the way
you... Why are you making this documentary, and what do you hope viewers will get out of it?
Good question.
How about an answer?
This is about Tennessee. I mean, we're 2 days from the biggest game of the year, so...
Yeah, the trailer just came out. You released the trailer and everything.
Got it.
Just, you know, just wondering, you know, why you're doing it, and what message you're trying to convey to viewers. People are going to see it.
We'll see. But we'll see after the Tennessee game.
Okay.
See? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is more of the latter.
Well, we'll see. But we're going to see after. You understand what's important here? So
and you know what?
We'll see after.
You want, you want an answer from the guy making the documentary?
No, not yet.
No.
No,
not,
I don't
want to hear
this
yet.
Question. He answers this
okay,
very question.
But I want to talk about something else before we get to that, which is Byron. That's Byron Barnett, right? News reporter going down. Byron Barnett, 7 News, right? Goes
action.
Down there.
Action.
Goes down there to get the story.
Yeah.
And Brady doesn't want to answer the question, and Brady seems... Does he seem annoyed at all?
No.
Kind of like, guys, you know, the game is 2 days away, biggest game of the year.
No, he
knows. Hey, Dippy, you put out the trailer. Yeah. You went and made the documentary. Right? Oh,
I
you know, oh,
yeah,
we're
right. Right.
Don't ask me about this. We're 2 days away from the biggest game of the year. Then guess what, Tom? Don't put out the trailer the week of the biggest game of the year if you don't want to get asked that question. That would be my response to him there.
Well, I think
and
part
I think
of...
I think Byron Barnett sort of wanted to say that and probably should have. Well, then why'd you put it out this week if it's the biggest game of the year, Tom? Why are you doing this?
Okay, so the story hits last week. Robert gives his statement. They do the joint statement with the three of them. Belichick addresses it all on Monday and then shuts it down. I bet you Bill went in that first meeting and said, we've talked about this. Not one more damn thing is going to be referenced. Unless it's Tennessee.
Can you imagine that? Like coming
on
Tennessee. On this week.
That's
like,
what that
day
is.
Did the trailer come
That's
out?
Him
Tuesday.
Checking himself because Bill
Tuesday
gave the mandate. Drops. You're talking about Tennessee.
That all comes out on
Nothing
Tuesday.
Else.
Like they finally get the story from last week to quiet down a little bit. Right? And all the players have had their chance to say, we're just talking about Tennessee. And then what does Tom Brady do this week? He drops a trailer to a minimum five part docuseries. And I can just imagine Bill walking and being Great. Like, what the hell?
The
like,
wet. The
what,
wet to earth.
What are we yeah. doing
earth
here?
Earth is wet.
What is this?
Moist.
Why do we have to do that this week?
Right.
Smells
We
like
need
ocean.
This like a third nipple.
Yes.
Third nipple wouldn't be bad. Like, what do you do with the third nipple?
Can you milk it?
Is it
well, functioning? Don't they technically have 6 nipples? Like, if you ever look at the bottom of a dog or cat.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Milking.
All right. I'm okay. Serious. So, that's all. That's like... Well, why are you doing it this week then if it's the biggest game of the year and it's not worth talking about? You put it out.
Right.
No one else created that for you. You're the guy in charge of it.
Did Gotham Chopra somehow take over creative control of the whole project?
I don't like the name. Okay, you know what?
Can we get to this guy now?
And it's up to him when to release and when to do the trailer. Something tells me Brady might have executive producer credit on this, whether it's listed that way or not.
I don't like the name. The whole Chopra thing. The Gotham. Like, talk about trying too hard. Hey, I'm Gotham Chopra.
It's not
okay,
even,
well, the last name usually you don't choose.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll talk to Deepak about that.
Deepak! Like, let's sit here and pick the most very, let's think about the intellectually smart name here.
I think it has to do with their ethnicity more than anything. So
Gotham! It's like,
what
kind of
name is Chopra?
Well, just name him Batman.
I thought Indian?
Is it?
I don't know.
Probably,
I don't
know.
But he changed his name.
No, he doesn't look of that. Descent.
Oh, boy.
Or ethnicity.
What did he say? He talked to Tommy Curran, right?
Yeah.
On his podcast? Yep. NBC Sports Boston?
The part relating to this is at the very end, he said, well, when's this documentary going to drop?
Do you know the date that the first one will drop?
Yeah, they haven't. And I think, again, even Facebook's on board with the no distractions. So it's a little bit like, let's see what happens Saturday. Let's be, again, we don't, you know, we're all aware. We get it. Like, you know, like, hey, this is a delicate balance, and let's not, like, you know, guru. Belichick and the team, they have, this is their time, and let's not get in the way of that.
Oh,
so I think everybody's just being sensitive to that, and keep our fingers crossed, see what happens this week, and then kind of make some decisions going forward.
I think they're all in
a great job of being sensitive.
You know what they are?
Aren't they?
They're in that airplane, just circling and circling, waiting for the elimination. That's when the plane lands.
Hardy, what grade would you give them on being sensitive to what's happening with the football team? What grade would you give them on that endeavor?
F minus.
Oh, we're being very sensitive. We just happened to drop the trailer 4 days before the first playoff game. That's
By
all.
The way, Gotham's real name was, I'm going to say Gautama, but he changed his name because he said he was tired of his name being mispronounced in the United States. So I probably mispronounced Gautama, and he changed it to Gotham.
It's a cool name.
And Deepak was born Gotham. In New Delhi. So, yes.
There you go.
All right.
Now we have our answer.
I think it's intentional. I think they intentionally did it now because they're 99% sure they're going to get the win over Tennessee Saturday night, and this is going to help build upon the trailer and just say, well, here's your evidence. You saw the trailer last week. Here's some more evidence. It's like if you're putting out a documentary about global warming, you do it right before the middle of July when it's supposed to be the hottest in the country. See? And there's your proof.